The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. It's the very last Monday of 2024. How are you spending your last Monday? Drew is sitting in with me today. All the rest of the Annie Fry crew has got the day off. Good for them. Get out there, waste your last Monday. I mean, enjoy your last Monday, not being on the radio. Is Reardon in today? I don't know if Reardon's in today.
I think it's best of for Reardon.
That's it. Yeah. So Mark Cox was the only one who came in today and showed up as a regular crew.
True soldier.
Good for Mark Cox. Way to get in here and power through there, buddy. We appreciate that. Hey, my name is Mike Elam. Getting to sit in today. I appreciate Annie taking the day off. I'm a little out of sorts because I haven't been here in a while. It's been a bit since I've been able to fill in. And to be honest with you, I wanted to make sure that I was in okay health today, because Santa brought sickness to my house for Christmas. My brother-in-law got sick, my wife got sick, I got sick, so we've all been trying to just muddle through. Yeah, Drew breaks out the hand sanitizer. We're going to be doing that. I'll stay back from you today. We've got a lot that we're going to get to today. We're going to talk to Scott Fond a little bit later on today from This Week in Missouri Politics. Mark Carter from St. Louis County Council. There is a lot going on in St. Louis County these days, and Mark is going to talk to us about that. And then we're going to catch up with Steve Ellman, County Executive of St. Charles County, because I am contractually obligated to have somebody from St. Charles County on anytime I do the show. But I am very excited that we get to kick off the show today by talking to the Governor-elect of State of Missouri, Mr. Mike Kehoe. Governor-elect, how are you, sir?
Hey, good afternoon. And I'm kind of intimidated. You've got an all-star lineup coming on this afternoon, so you started out with the lowest guy in the totem pole, I see.
I would say we reversed the headliner and put him up front. You know, we didn't bury the lead on this one. I appreciate you taking some time, man.
Mark Carter's a great guy, a good friend, doing a great job for the county. And, of course, you know, I love County Executive Ellman. He's just been a great friend and done wonderful things for St. Charles. Now, Scott Fond, that's right. I'm not sure what his credentials would be and why you would have him on, but we call him the media mogul, by the way.
Oh, do we? So why do we call him the media mogul?
Some of us do, because he thinks he's a media mogul.
Well, there you go. Okay.
He certainly has the pulse on politics in Missouri and is a good guy.
And that's really why I want to talk to him. And we'll figure out a little bit. I don't want to rehash with him what I'm going to talk to you about. But Scott always seems to have his finger on the pulse of things, like you're talking about, sort of in the background of what's going on in Jeff City. And I think he does that. He and Emily Manley from Fox 2 are two of the best, in my opinion. They do it differently, but they cover Jeff City really, really well. But I'm just excited that I get the opportunity to talk to you. I know you've got to be going crazy with putting everything together and getting ready. What are we, 2 weeks from today? Is that swearing in day?
2 weeks from today. Can you believe it, Mike? It seems like we've been working on this for years, and all of a sudden it's just 2 weeks away. We're excited. We're humbled by the support we got from many, many Missourians. Friends like you that we've made along the way have been just an unbelievable bonus for Claudia and I. So, yeah, we're ready to go 2 weeks away, and we're ready to get this thing moving.
So everybody keeps talking about Donald Trump's cabinet and how he's been putting his people together. But you just put out a press release. You've done a pretty good job of having your cabinet ready to go at this point. Have you filled all of your slots, or do you still have some yet to go?
We still have a couple that we're working with existing directors and different people to make sure everybody is kind of shares our vision about where we want to go in the future. But a lot of big appointments have been made. I think you saw just at the end of last week, we appointed Mike Turner to be the colonel of the Highway Patrol. Mike's been a great law enforcement officer. He's a patrolman's patrolman. He's a road guy. And that's been received really well. Eric Olson, I got to tell you, has done a fantastic job with the patrol, and Colonel Olson is getting a much-deserved retirement, and there'll be big shoes for Mike Turner to fill. But that's our latest one. We've had several others have been watching. Today we announced kind of our key staff members that are going to be helping us get going 2 weeks from today. So most names people will be familiar with from various organizations that we've worked with for the last couple of years. So we've got really good people. I need a good team around me, Mike, because I'm not that smart. So I need really good people around me.
Well, I know that's not true, but I do appreciate the fact that if you have a good team, it always makes your job easier. And having people around you that you can trust and that are confident and that are competent to get the job done, I know is a big part. And you've been talking about a year. Day one, when your hand comes off the Bible, you are going to implement that new crime deterrent policy. Are you getting close to putting those details together that you're going to be able to release that, I assume, on the 13th or so?
Oh, yeah. And some pieces are, you know, kind of being quote unquote released in that there's some legislation that's been filed that will help us with pieces of our crime package. Senator Travis Fitzwater has filed legislation. Brad Crist has done a great job with different things. He's filing from the St. Louis area there on South St. Louis. Multiple other House and Senate members have pieces of legislation that will be parts of our crime package. And then, yeah, we'll between the 13th and obviously the State of the State, which is on the 28th, we'll have all the pieces. Attorney General Andrew Bailey has been very involved in that. You also know that police organizations from around the state have been very involved. In St. Charles County, I'm sure you know Chief D. Giuseppe. He's been a rock star helping us. What we've had people like him, Farmer Chief Rick Smith from the Kansas City Police Department, Sheriff Mike Bonham from Osage County. We've had Troopers Association representatives, Dusty Hoffman. So we've had a lot of really good people from law enforcement organizations and prosecutors who have said, hey, here's what we need. Here's where our hands are tied. Here's what will really help us to get our streets safe. And we're certainly looking forward to keeping our promises, making that our number one priority, and actually implementing things that help the heroes, the men and ladies who patrol and protect our communities.
You know, I know it's got to be easier. It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but it's got to be easier for you walking into this job. I was reading the article today yesterday in the Post-Dispatch talking about Governor Parson is ready to move on after the pressure cooker and just everything that he kind of walked into. And it seems like you're keeping a lot of his staff that he had before, not staff, I guess, but people who were on his team. You're keeping a number of those. So I'm assuming it's easier to go from a Republican administration to another Republican administration as opposed to what we're seeing in D.C., where you're going from a Democrat to a Republican. They're going to completely clean house and start over. What made you keep some of the governor's people?
Well, Donald Trump, number one, is putting together an incredible cabinet, and I'm excited to serve as governor while President Trump is there along with his cabinet members. But, you know, Mike Parson, you know, he had 3 days to get ready. We're going to have, you know, almost 65 or 70. So, you know, when he had to immediately come in a tough circumstance back in June of 18, we saw some really good people rise to the occasion and step up and help him and his administration, help Missourians, I think, deliver better policy and better things for Missouri. And so several of those folks have agreed to come on with us. We're excited about that. And a lot of young people, Mike, Governor Parson, I'm sorry, had a lot of younger folks that have some really good ideas. And you've heard Governor Parson say a million times, being a good leader is about making those around you better. And I certainly think he had a great hand in making the people around him better. And we're fortunate several of those people have agreed to stay on and help us.
Has there been anything that's come up that you didn't expect, like a challenge that you didn't foresee that you've had to take on?
Yeah, you know, because of the time and the runway we've had to get ready, any of the kind of things that were surprises we've been able to work through. But for the most part, no, some not challenges, but some picks that you want to be really careful with. For instance, the Adjutant General of our National Guard, currently is LeVon Compton, a great guy. He's done a great job. I'm a big fan of General Compton's. He got a nice promotion with the Army. He's going to be second in command in Europe, and he goes over there in February. Yeah, it says a lot for General Compton's abilities and the state of Missouri putting out these good soldiers. So picking a new adjutant general is something that's, for me, very humbling to do. I never donned the uniform, but I've got people around me who have and have actually served in the Guard. And I think, as you know, Adam Gresham, our chief of staff, is a served his time in the Marine Corps. So you've got a lot of good folks helping me interview people. And I've told many people this, is that you'd think you'd interview for a really high-profile position like that, and you'd interview a handful of people, and one or two would stick out. The good news about our Guard is every person we interviewed is capable. And
nice.
So it makes the decision even tougher, but it also speaks volumes to our military men and women, what they've done, and how well they are prepared in the National Guard.
So what do you think are – obviously we talk about crime a lot, and Steve Ellman had put out a blog this past month, and he talked about 8 things that are on his wish list that he wants to get done. What's really kind of funny, being the county executive in St. Charles County, you would think most of those would be St. Charles County related, but it's mostly about the city of St. Louis. And one of the things that he talks about in that blog is how lucky we are that you are the incoming governor, because you grew up in St. Louis. You understand St. Louis. And we have not had a lot of governors in our recent history from this side of the state. So it will be nice to have you in that seat, because you understand the challenges that we have coming in St. Louis. What do you see are the other things that you're going to have to tackle besides crime to help our state really get to that proverbial next level that we talk about?
Well, we talked earlier what a great job Steve Ellman has done, and I appreciate the compliments. He understands, and I'm stealing his line, that if you want the house to look good, the front door has to look good. And St. Charles County might be the living room or the kitchen to that house, but you're not getting to those rooms until you come through the front door, and St. Louis City and County is the front door. And so I know that's why that's important to him, because he knows good things that happen on that side of the river ultimately affect the side that you guys are on, and kudos to him. But what else we can work on, Mike, is regulatory reform is a big issue in our economic development package. Every cabinet member, or prospective cabinet member we're talking to, we're telling them we want them to spend X amount of hours every week and so many hours a month going through regulations, trying to find out what burdensome regulations we have that businesses really inhibit them from growing and investing in our state. We think that's a big opportunity for us. We're very much looking forward to working through some regulatory reform. Several tax package bills that are out there now that have been filed, again, part of what we want to do for our economic development package is to put money back into Missourians' pockets. They can spend it better than a government bureaucrat can any day. And so we think tax reform is a big piece to what we can get done. And then we've talked an awful lot about education reform, not just options for parents to make sure their kids go to the right districts, but also making sure that we have career and technical education shored up and continue to invest in that. That's a huge piece of how we move Missouri forward, building our workforce, giving opportunities to young men and ladies. I think that's a massive part of what we got to get done.
That's a lot to tackle, but I appreciate the fact that you seem to be putting a really good team together to be able to do that. I wanted to step out a little more nationally, because you have, before you even got into office, you've already gotten heavily involved with the Republican Governors Association. Tell me a little bit about that, and how can the other Republican governors around the country and you work together to help improve not just Missouri, but the country?
Let me just tell you something that most St. Louisans will appreciate. Here's a guy, you know, 50 years ago from North City, St. Louis, now goes to, I've been to several RGA, Republican Governor Association meetings as a member. Now I go as a governor-elect. And I'm at this in the small room, the small table, and Glenn Youngkin is sitting on one side, Sarah Sanders is sitting the other side. And I'm shooting the bull with Ron DeSantis and Kemp. And I mean, it's almost, I'll tell you, Mike, that was, after we won the election, that was probably one of the moments where I said, holy cow, this is unbelievable, because I was a little starstruck. But I want to get involved with RGA, because And we have gotten involved and very fortunate to have been elected to be part of their executive committee, because that's the group that really deals with D.C. on the policy piece. And thank God that Donald Trump is our president, as we talked about earlier, because as a governor and a Republican governor, I think the opportunities we have to work with his administration to achieve these goals will be really good for Missourians. And this is the first time the Republican Governors Association has 10 people on their executive committee that they've actually elected a governor-elect to be on that executive committee. And I was humbled to be able to be a part of that and accept that role so that we can continue to work together with other Republican governors on great things that really, you know, help Americans and Missourians out, specifically on a national level with the RGA.
Well, I'm excited about the fact of what's going to happen for Missouri over the next 4 and hopefully 8 years. And I was watching Hancock and Kelly yesterday on Fox 2, and John Hancock was talking about the fact that you are very unique in the fact that you put together the largest coalition of people that supported your campaign that has ever been seen in Missouri politics. And I don't know anybody nationally who's had a broad of coalition as you put together for that. And I'm really excited about the fact that I think you're going to be able to move our state in a way that hasn't been done. No pressure, you know. But
yeah, I wish you would give me a little bit of a shot there. You know, no pressure. That's yeah. All we feel is pressure on this. But hey, if you're going to run for this job, you got to be ready. And so, John Hancock has been a great friend. I've known him a long time in politics, and he's very kind with his words. But you're right. We knew to win because we had, you know, we didn't have the name ID some candidates had. And we didn't have maybe the social media presence some candidates had. We needed to put a grassroots coalition together, and certainly you saw that with the over 27 endorsements, I should say, for the primary. And then by the time we got to the general, we had 30-some. It was a very wide, broad spectrum group of people who represent a lot of different interests and thoughts and ways of life in Missouri. And we managed to bring them all together in the common good for what's good for Missouri.
Hey, I'm curious about I know you're going to be in St. Charles on Friday for the 10th anniversary announcement of our St. Charles County Police Department. So I get the opportunity. I know you'll be shocked that I'm going to MC that event for you. I know you never saw that
coming,
right?
You're a heck of an MC. I've seen you MC personally our events as well as others, and you do a very good job. So they're fortunate to have you.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do that for your campaign, but we're excited to do that. Tell me a little bit about the 13th. What are you expecting on that day? Because it looks like just a jam-packed day from the morning you get up until whenever that party ends that night.
Well, we decided to start the day. A lot of times inaugurations have a parade, and that's great. But you know, I've worked really closely with our veterans organizations and our first responder organizations across the state. And I thought, you know, instead of highlighting people who just won an election, which are good men and ladies, I'm not taking anything away, let's have a salute to our state's heroes. So we have an event instead of a parade at 9 that morning in the rotunda of the Capitol that will salute 12 heroes from various, whether it's a veterans organization or first responders organization from around the state. We're very excited to highlight those heroes who are making our community safe. Then we have the inauguration, which actually you get seated at 11:30, but it starts at the bells of St. Peter's Church at high noon on the 13th. We'll have a meet and greet at the mansion. Claudia and I will that afternoon, I think from 2 to 3:30, and that starts off with the Clydesdales opening that up right up in front of the governor's mansion. So not only as a horse person am I excited, but having Anheuser-Busch Clydesdales there is iconic to Missouri, and we're excited about that. Later on that evening, then the inaugural ball starts, and that's where you have all the elected officials from the House and Senate and their guests and family that will be presented and walk down the grand staircase and be announced. And Claudia and I will be a part of that, along with the other statewide elected officials. And it'll be a long day, but we're very excited about the history and the tradition that Inauguration Day brings for Missouri.
I was really hoping to be there, but I have a county council meeting that night, and we are choosing a new chair for county council. So I kind of have to be at that meeting that night, but I'm hoping to be there for your swearing in earlier in the day.
Well, that's kind of you to want to be there, and certainly I understand and appreciate how seriously you take what happens in St. Charles County, and you've done a great job for them. So I totally understand that. But we'll miss you, but I'll bet we'll see you somewhere down the line.
I look forward to it. Hey, I appreciate you making time today. I hope you have a wonderful New Year's Eve, and looking forward to doing anything I can to help you out as you kick off being Governor Mike Kehoe, and we can drop the governor-elect. So my best to you and Claudia and the family for New Year's, and looking forward to 2025.
Well, Happy New Year to you as well, and thanks for all the folks in that station who have had me on countless times, whether with you or Annie or Mark or any of those guys that we've worked with. We really appreciate the station and us giving time to talk about what's important to Missouri. And most of all, I want to thank the listeners in the St. Louis area and, of course, across the state who have placed their trust in us. It's as I said several times in this call, it's humbling, but we intend to roll our sleeves up. Our first cabinet meeting will be at 8 a.m. on January 14th. So we're not going to waste any time, and we're getting right to work.
We're going to hit the ground running. Well, we appreciate the time, and we will talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Have a great New Year and blessed. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. That is Governor-elect Mike Kehoe. It's always good to talk to him. He has got a lot on his plate, a lot of high expectations, but I know he's going to do a fantastic job. We're going to dig in a little bit more to the other side of Jeff City and talk a little about the House and the Senate. I know a lot of times on Annie's show, they do a lot of federal stuff, but I really wanted to talk about what's going on in Jeff City because we don't talk about that much, and I wanted to get into that a little bit more. Scott Fawn is going to join us on the other side. As the governor was saying, he's definitely got his finger on the pulse of what's going on there. We will do that coming up. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today. Happy New Year, everybody, from 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elam sitting in for Annie today. Happy New Year. Hope your Monday, the last Monday of 2024, is going well. Scott Fawn is joining us on the line today. Scott is owner of the Missouri Times. You see him on TV all the time of This Week in Missouri Politics. Scott, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. I'm on Broadway in Nashville getting ready for the bowl game this afternoon.
No way!
If you're not having a good time here, it's on you.
Man! Hey, you know what? Governor-elect Kehoe was on right before you, and he called you Missouri's media mogul.
Well, I tell you, going on after Governor Kehoe is a little bit of a letdown. I mean, it's like having your dessert first and the salad last. I mean, this is a bit of a tough call. I tell you about Mike Kehoe, though. The way he just describes things and the way he goes about and carries himself, it just makes you fully believe that, like, whatever that guy's doing, he's thought it through, it's going to work, it's going to be good. He just makes you kind of want to run through a wall for him. He just has that ability to explain things that, you know, and lay out a sincerity in his approach that I'm just a big believer in. I'm a little bit like you, and I'm always the pessimistic German about these things. But when you said that you were excited about his governorship, I try to not be about these things just because you get burned a lot. But I have to admit, I'm kind of excited about seeing this pragmatic, business-minded conservative go and actually accomplish things. I'm having to fight myself getting a little maybe too high of expectations.
I'm there. I really am. Because I really just, you know, when you talk about all of the folks who got behind him, and it's one of the kind of things where he had almost 30 statewide organizations who endorsed him, and a number of them have never endorsed for governor before. And it just shows you how many people share that excitement and that trust about who Mike Kehoe is and what they think he can do. I'm with you from a standpoint of I don't want to put too much pressure on him and too many expectations because I don't want to feel let down, but I just feel like there's so many people who are on board, and it just feels like we're in a situation right now where a lot of people are feeling very positive about the future, not just in the country, but here in Missouri as well.
You know, I'm with you. I try to pride myself on it when folks are kind enough to have me on their show and tell them what I really think is happening and not a sanitized version or not a, well, I always tell you my biases, but I really am having, I've noticed I'm having to fight, not maybe setting too high a bar. I just think when you're around Mike Kehoe, which is why I would really encourage folks, if they have time, to come to the inauguration. If the weather's decent at all, it's worth the trip. You could be part of history. I really, the way he approaches things, I just think is the way you actually win and accomplish. and as a conservative that's had to watch us win elections but not always win policy changes, I really am excited for his approach. And I'm trying to fight being too excited. Because, I mean, look, it's going to take – I think he'll be a calming presence. He'll have a honeymoon. That honeymoon will end. It will. It does for everyone.
Right.
And you already see it. I mean, there's a little – it's kind of a manufactured, attention-seeking thing, race for speaker. I don't know how actually serious the race is. I don't think it's close at all, if you want the truth. But there'll be some fissures. I mean, Representative Sparks has carried himself very well with a lot of different groups. I don't think he's even tried to talk to his colleagues, which is how you'd be elected speaker. But he's went and made a bunch of connections, got a lot of attention. And I think you'll see he'll be somebody that look, most of the media just wants Republicans to fight with each other. Number one, it's interesting, and it's their job to do interesting. And two, they don't want to see Republicans succeed in the media, so they want to see them fight. I think he'll be Justin Sparks will have an interesting role. I think the vote is going to be surprising to folks that don't know any members of the Missouri legislature and how lopsided it is. But I do think Sparks has a chance to be a voice if he picks something. If he were to pick a policy issue that he wanted to address, I think, and actually show his colleagues that he's sincere about it and make it more than just Facebook posts, make it real things, he could be a help or he could be a huge hindrance. I mean, he does have a head of steam. He has built up a lot of attention, a lot of following on social media. He's in a unique spot, but those are all pitfalls. Governing is hard. It is very hard to change laws in the state of Missouri, and I'm glad that it is. Governing is hard, and so we're going to see what happens here. But I'm with you. I'm very excited. The Senate has some fresh blood in it. I think that's going to be good. I'll tell you, I think the most interesting legislator in the whole Missouri legislature is your own St. Charles County and Nick Shore. I think he's still part of the Freedom, whatever you want to call it, conservative caucus, group of troublemakers, pick your poison, whichever one you want. Nick Shore is the most competent legislator and the most talented speaker, the most talented media in the media of any of that group. Now, if he comes in and wants to legislate, then you're going to see a lot of folks that are going to, there's going to be a lot more things move. If he comes in there and just wants to whine, well, there's going to be frustration. But I think he's the most interesting person to watch as to how he goes about the first couple, 3 weeks of session. It started last year with him on the floor complaining, and it ended, you know, with a grab bag of kind of wins and a decent session. But I think this session, you know, I think smart eyes will be on the St. Charles County and now the senior senator from St. Charles and how he goes about the next course. I mean, Nick Shore could be governor one day, and maybe he could be governor throwing a fit. Maybe he could be governor putting a bunch of conservative wins on the board. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to predict those things that far out. I just think whatever he does, the entire state Senate and his career are going to be kind of measured by how he goes about the first few months of this legislative session.
And that was really one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is where do you see this going this year? Because, you know, the last really 3 years, I would say, the Senate has really just been the boondoggle of a legislature. Everything goes there to die. And it seems like Republicans just yell at each other for not being conservative enough. And then they shoot themselves in a circular firing squad and just can't get things across the board. But now you've got a new president of the Senate. You've got some of those folks who are doing a lot of the shooting who aren't there anymore. You've got a governor, what we've talked about in Mike Kehoe. And one of the biggest things, I think, with Mike Kehoe, as opposed to the Justin Sparks example that you gave, Justin doesn't seem to understand that the speaker is a team captain pick, and it's picked by the members of the team, not by the folks who put the team there. So I think Kehoe understands how to build coalitions, how to work with people, and how to get stuff done. I'm curious to see, do you think, because I'm feeling optimistic, but then again, it's December 30th, right? I'm feeling optimistic that we're going to be able to get some stuff done. Do you think I'm okay in thinking that, or do you think I'm wrong?
I think every governor has a honeymoon period when he comes in. I think Mike Kehoe will have one as well. I think Mike Kehoe will know what to do with that honeymoon period. But let's just take the biggest issue for our state. I'm a hick from the Boot Hill, right? I'm a simple hillbilly from West Butler County. The fact of the matter, we don't like to admit this, but if you give out free cheese in the state, St. Louis pays for a lot of it. If you build a road in this state, St. Louisans pay for a lot of that. the best thing you could do to improve the economic climate of West Plains and Sedalia and Noel, Missouri, is to fix crime in the city of St. Louis. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've told the governor himself, don't get in that. You can't fix it. He believes he can fix it. He's got a plan. And I tell you, again, when he, you know, when you first say, oh, we're going to address crime in St. Louis, I'm like, whatever, that's never going to work.
It's, right.
People can shoot each other there forever. It's never going to change. But when Mike Kehoe lays out his plan, you're like, you know what? This son of a gun, he might actually do this. And so I'm excited. Watch for that. I think you're going to have to see things move quickly early. I think people learned last year, Cindy O'Loughlin is a very talented state senator. And the first year, she was very successful for you. The second year, some of the old stuff crept back in. You've got a her. She kind of helped pick the floor leader in Tony Lukemeyer, who is a Farmington guy, by the way, Cardinal fan,
hey.
But represents the Northland over in Kansas City area up to St. Joe. They're going to be a very close team. And I think the crime bill is going to be the first thing. I mean, look, I think Nick Shore should carry the crime bill. I think you should start every session with, hey, how do we work with you? And I think if it was explained to Nick that, hey, if you want to be out on the floor, we got to take this bill away from you and give it to Sandy Crawford or somebody else that can pass this. If you want to just start killing everybody's legislation, they're going to kill yours. I think you give him a serious thing like this and say, Nick, run with it. He's talented enough to do it. Look for those early things. I think the Senate's going to want to move quickly because this honeymoon will end. There will be conflict. Chairman will not hear bills. And there will be issues. But I firmly believe if Kehoe is willing to go to their offices, I mean, if Mike Kehoe comes to you and lays out his plan and asks for your help, I don't know many Republicans or Democrats that's not going to want to try to find a way to be on his side because he's a very genuine person and he's a great guy. So I guess look for early wins this session. And look, I'm just going to tell you from my white trash opinion, how the cow ate the cabbage. It is a huge benefit to have Caleb Rowden and Bill Igel, who just hate each other, out of the Senate. That is, if you want to see Republican things done and productive things, those two personalities needed to go. It is part of the, I'm not a big fan of the term limit system we have now, but I'll tell you right now, in my opinion, it was a good thing for term limits for those two personalities and everybody with those leadership races 6 years ago to be gone. You can decide who was right and who was wrong. I don't think anybody that observes the Senate or works there or serves in it is going to be sad they're all gone just to start over. And that's going to give you a little room to maneuver. But I tell you, just from the cheap seats, the peanut gallery where I sit, look to see who carries the crime bill. And if it's Nick Shore, look and see how he handles himself with his fellow senators. And if Nick goes in here and says, I want to get this state-controlled police department or whatever is ultimately in Kehoe's crime plan, if he comes out there and says, that's my priority, all these other fights, we'll deal with them in a minute. And by the way, they are going to do an abortion thing. They got elected to. The law of the land in the state of Missouri is very pro-abortion right now. The legislature was elected promising to be very pro-life. There's a conflict there. We'll see where it gives, if it gives.
So where do you think things are going to happen in the House? How do you think that's going to go? Because obviously
pass a million bills. They'll pass bills, and no one will care until they get to the Senate. And then I'll tell you how you mark a speaker. The way to tell if a speaker's good, I mean, the House passes 50 bills a day. Nobody really pays much attention to it until the end. How does that speaker go get his four or five priorities and deal with the Senate leadership to get their four or five priorities? That's how you tell if a good speaker, a good negotiator, how's he played his cards. And those could be budget priorities, legislation, whatever it is, how he'll play his cards. The House will pass everything under the sun. How does that speaker leverage the Senate to get some of those priorities out of that incredible 1,000-bill haystack? How does he pick the six or seven he actually really prioritizes and wants to see happen, and how does he get them done? Patterson can get them done, but no speaker can control the Senate. A speaker's success or failure is going to be determined by how they hold those chips and do that deal-making at the very end.
We're talking to Scott Faughn this week in Missouri Politics and the Missouri Times, who is getting ready for the Mizzou game. And just a quick sidebar, since you brought that up, why did Mizzou get a Monday at 1:30 bowl game? That has got to be the suckiest time to have a bowl game that I could possibly think of.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think it's because we lost to South Carolina. If not for that, well, if we'd have won that game, we might be in Tampa or Jacksonville or in the college playoffs. But I think we lost the South Carolina game. That put us here. But I'm going to tell you, I would take 1:30 on a Monday in Nashville over, you know, Saturday night at 7 in Houston or Jacksonville or somewhere. I'm a Nashville fan. I like Nashville.
Dude,
I'm not complaining about it. I'm here for it. Plus, by 1:30, I haven't had, as has been said on these airways before by Mike Shannon, I have not had enough cold, frosty Anheuser-Busch products. I can actually watch the first part of this game. Then my drinking habit, the German in me, we can do those 12-ounce curls all day. So I'm kind of liking the setup, but you know, not anything in Nashville to me, I'm a happy boy.
You know, Nashville is a fantastic place to hang out. And I guess the upside for the people who attend the game is you've got a 1:30 game. You're done by 4:30, unless they're like some of these other, like the Hawaii Bowl that had 5 overtimes, and then you had another one that had 6 overtimes. Hopefully Mizzou wins this game running away, but we'll see how that plays out. The good news is, after 5 o'clock, you can party on Broadway for the rest of the night. That's pretty good.
You read my mind.
Oh,
that's my plan.
I have a feeling that I'm assuming Casey is with you and you're hanging out today.
She is. It was so funny. She booked our hotel, and I guess she didn't. I mean, there's no way we would have known. It's the Iowa Team Hotel.
Oh, how funny.
So I'm getting her an espresso martini, trying not to spill it. And that silly Hawkeye, whatever his name is, came up and was taking pictures of me, doing the thumbs down. I'm like, dude, I got this espresso martini. I'm never going to hear the end of it if I spill a drop of this. You got to go, man. I have no idea. So we've heard the fight song. It's weird. They do keep coming up and saying good luck tomorrow, good luck today. And I'm like, man, if this was the Cub fan, I'd be saying, I hope you have terrible luck today and an awful day.
People
so
from Iowa.
Nice. It's just a different type of people.
People from Iowa are very nice. Good, wholesome, value folks.
Unless they're Cubs fans. Then they're godless, awful people.
Well, so that's a different story. For baseball season, things get bad.
The only person I've ever given a pass to on the Cub fan thing is two. Claudia Kehoe, I know. And then Dusty Schneiders and Phil, but they had kin folks that played in the minor leagues for the Cubs. The rest of them, I have no sympathy for Cubdom at all, ever.
So we're talking with Scott Fawn. What are you doing for New Year's?
Well, I'm staying down here next day, actually.
Oh.
So we're going to do New Year's on Broadway. And then I'm going to land at Lambert Airport, probably quite hungover, sometime around 9 o'clock on New Year's Day.
Oh, wow. That was poor planning. You're going to have to get up at the butt crack of dawn to come fly?
Too.
Wow.
I
don't know about brother.
Faced with these types of situations in the past, if I'm going to be up at midnight and I got to be up at 5, I mean, it may just be the time to power on through, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, why go to bed? That just means that tonight you're going to have to pace yourself to be able to get to midnight tomorrow night. Otherwise, you may be having that. Well, you're already in Eastern time zone, aren't you? Or is Nashville Central?
You know what's great about Nashville? I have no idea.
I think Nashville Central, aren't they? Yeah, Drew thinks they are.
I think it's the Central.
Well,
my phone hasn't switched over, so we must be in the Central.
Yeah, you're on that border. Well, Donald Trump's going to get rid of this for us anyway, so we're not going to have to move our clocks, and we're going to fix it all anyway. Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking some time. I always enjoy talking to you because you do have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in Jeff City better than anybody else I know. I like you and Emily Manley at Fox 2, who always seem to be just
great, bro.
Man, just digging in on stuff, and you guys always have, like you said, it's a no BS take, and some people may not like it, but it's true, and this is how it's going to go.
I give you my honest opinion. I give you my biases. You can take them for what you will. But I will say this, since we're right here on Broadway, M-I-Z.
Z-O-U?
Yes, sir.
Is anybody coming back with you, or are they chatting with you when you say M-I-Z, or did you go to a little quiet place where you could talk?
Well, I'm actually in an alley. And if I was here 12 hours from now, I'd probably already been robbed. But I'm in a quiet alley. But I found Ryan McKenna here. I guess it's some kind of work release program. He's down here. So we're going to go watch the game together.
Well, you guys have a fun-filled time. Hopefully we get a Mizzou victory out of this. And I will talk to you in the new year, my friend.
Yes, sir. Take care. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That is Scott Fawn from This Week in Missouri Politics that you see on TV every week. And he's also the publisher of the Missouri Times. I appreciate that. Next hour, we are going to talk a little St. Louis County stuff. There is a ton of stuff that is going on in St. Louis County. And Mark Carter is going to join us in studio after the top of the hour. So stick around with us. Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today, the last Monday of 2024. Happy New Year, everybody, from 97.1 FM Talk. For you. We've been traveling far. Happy Monday, everybody. It's the last Monday of 2024. Happy New Year. Hope you've got great New Year's plans. You're going to do something fun and get out and enjoy the evening. Scott Faughn was out partying on Broadway in Nashville. A bunch of folks I saw on social media were getting up early today, and they were making the trek for a 1:30 bowl game. I just feel like Mizzou's getting screwed on a 1:30 bowl game. It's great for the folks who are going to be there because, like I said, the game gets over. You could be on Broadway by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a good place to be, especially it looks like the weather in Nashville is like mid-50s, no rain. Should be a great day for Missouri and Iowa to play. Hey, one of the things that we talked about, just mentioned just a second ago, is President Jimmy Carter passing away at the age of 100. He's a guy who... when he was president, not very popular. And I think a lot of folks would say he was probably one of the worst presidents that we had in the history of America. But it's a guy who really remade his image after he got rid of, or after he left office, he got rid of, after he got out of office. He really remade who Jimmy Carter was. And this was just a tribute that was done for him that I wanted to share with you. Cut 14, Drew.
A peanut farmer turned naval officer turned unlikely politician.
My name is Jimmy Carter, and I'm running for president.
Elected in 1976, Jimmy Carter brought the leaders of Egypt and Israel together for the Camp David Peace Accords.
We should all recognize the substantial achievements that have been made.
His presidency marked by high inflation and an energy crisis.
The energy shortage is permanent. There is no way we can solve it quickly.
When 53 Americans were held hostage in Iran for more than a year, a failed rescue mission that killed eight led to an election loss to Ronald Reagan. It was in his post-presidential years that his reputation grew as he devoted himself to such causes as human rights and Habitat for Humanity. It has been said that while Jimmy Carter may not go down as one of our greatest presidents, he may have been one of the best ex-presidents in history.
So Jimmy Carter really is a guy who went on to do all kinds of other things that really put him in a whole new light, I'd say, after that. One of the big things that I got attached to through Rotary is Habitat for Humanity. And that was really his passion project that he got together on. And a guy in my Rotary Club, my old Rotary Club in St. Charles Noonday, actually got Habitat for Humanity established out in St. Charles County. And that's an organization that has done just fantastic work over the years. And that's something that he and Rosalind Carter put together. And if it wasn't for them, you never would have had that. So Jimmy Carter got involved in a lot of things after the fact. I was a little disappointed in whoever got in his ear and talking about the Trump stuff at the end. I wish he hadn't commented on something like that, because you see a lot of presidents, Obama's an exception to this, I think, but most of the presidents who are ex-presidents kind of stay out of the other presidential races as they come out. They sit on their own and they say, you know, I wouldn't appreciate it if you did it in mine, so I'm going to stay out of yours. And I think you've seen that happen with the majority of presidents after the fact. But it's he's a guy who lived a great life, a full life. I don't know that I want to live to 100 if I have to end up the way that he ended up at 100. It's more about quality as opposed to quantity is kind of where I'm at this standpoint. Mark Carter is joining us in the studio a little bit early today. How are you, sir?
Mike, how are you? Happy New Year.
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to you about everything that's going on in St. Louis County, because it seems like every time I turn on local news, I hear or see you, because there is something going on with your friend Sam Page.
Well, it's never a dull moment in St. Louis County. So We'll have a lot to talk about here today.
There is all kinds of stuff going on. So we are also going to talk a little bit later on this afternoon to Steve Ellman. He did a whole blog where he talked about there are 8 things that he would like to see happen in his wish list for 2025. Ironically, a lot of them have to do with St. Louis City. So we'll talk to Steve about that also in this hour. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're enjoying your last New Year's, your last Monday of 2024. My name is Mike Elam in for Addie Fry. Thanks for listening to 97.1 FM Talk.